Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
What's up, Faith Church? What's up, Faith Church? Anybody excited about Jesus in the house today? Come on. I am so excited, elated, and honored to be with you guys on today. Listen, I am grateful for Pastor David and Pastor Nicole. You guys have some of the greatest pastors in the world. Come on, put it together and let's give God a praise for them. Of course, Pastor Austin and Morgan, man, you guys are just blessed at Faith Church, and I'm jealous. But I can tell you something, I'm a son of this house, because ever since Pastor David and Nicole came into my life has been better. My marriage has been better. My ministry has been better. Even my money has been better. Come on now, somebody. And so I've been embracing the faith ever since God has connected me to Pastor David, and God's been doing some amazing things in my life. And I am honored that I get to be with you all today. Any preacher in America, any preacher around the world would love to have been on this platform, because this is one of the greatest platforms in the world. And so I want to steward this moment well today. And so, of course, God's been good to me. And in my message, I'm going to share a little bit more of my story. But I would like for you to do me a favor. It's my custom to stand whenever we're getting ready to read the word. So I'm going to ask you all to stand all around the sanctuary today. Those of you that are online with us, get your Bibles. Those of you that are at our other campuses, man, today is going to be amazing. We're going to start from Joshua chapter 4. And I'm just going to read from verses 4 to 7, okay? From verses 4 to 7. And it reads as this: Joshua summoned the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one per tribe. Joshua told them, "Go in front of the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan." Everybody say, "In the middle." "Each of you is to put a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the Israelites' tribes. The stones will be a reminder to you that when your children ask someday, 'Why are these stones important to you?' tell them how the water of the Jordan stopped flowing before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the water of the Jordan stopped flowing. These stones will be a lasting memorial for the Israelites." If I could tag a topic to the text today, it would be marked moments. I want you to do me a favor. Look to the person you're standing next to. I know we're social distancing, but listen to the person you're standing next to. Say, "Neighbor, you've got some marks." Okay, you spoke to the wrong person. They hadn't had their coffee yet. Turn to somebody else and say, "Neighbor, you've got the mark, the moment." Father, bless this moment. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. Amen. You've got to mark the moment. You know, as we get ready to jump into this text, one of the things that I was praying as I was coming to share with you is, what is it, Lord, that you would help me to share, especially in this difficult season that we're in? And one of the things that God told me was that you've got to mark the moments of when I was a good God and how great I've been in your life. See, memories are important. They're important for our lives because they make us who we are. However, they can be very fleeting and fickle. Even the memories of big events, y'all, can deteriorate over time. That is why it is important to preserve memories. Now, let me just note and parenthetically insert here that there are things that we should remember that we forget. But then there are things that we shouldn't remember that we don't forget. And here's the thing. Paul even said this. He says, "Don't remember your past." Or he says, "I forget the things that are behind me. And what do? I press toward the mark of my high calling that is ahead of me." Because here's the thing. There are some memories that will try to keep you stuck. There are some memories that will try to keep you bound. There are some memories that will try to keep you from progressing into what God wants you to progress into. But I'm here to tell you today that God has freed you from being a hostage of your past. Come on, somebody. And you've got a future. Because he is a good and he's a great God. Here's what I said when I was with you last time. I said that your past should be a place of reference, not a place of residence. Okay, let me repeat that and back that thing up again. Your past is not a place of residence. It is a place of reference, meaning I don't have to live in it, but I can leverage it. Come on now. I don't have to live in it. I can leverage it. And I can allow God to take me to a place where I'm not limited by it. I want you to declare this with me. Say, I'm not limited by my past. Come on, say, I'm going to leverage my past. And I'm not limited by my past. And so even though I've got these memories, there are some things that I cannot forget. And there are some things that I've got to forget. And here's the thing. I'm going to hold on to certain memories because they are marked moments. So as we navigate to the text and to the narrative and we attempt to bring this text to life, we see that after 40 years of wandering in dry places, God speaks to Joshua and tells him to prepare the people to cross over into everything that he has promised him. This was good news, y'all, except the season that God chose to allow them to cross over was a difficult season. Now, I've been wondering, God, for 40 years, and now all of a sudden, in this difficult season, you're telling me it's time to cross over into the promise. Ain't that amazing that that's the way God is? See, God will cause you to do great things in difficult seasons because he don't want you to get glory for what he's about to do. He wants to get all the glory for himself. And I don't know if there's anybody in this 8 a.m. service that had their coffee and that could give God a praise, because regardless of the difficult seasons that you were in, he allowed you to do some things that you wouldn't have been able to do on your own. Come on, somebody ought to give God a praise right there. So he told them to cross over in this difficult season. It was a treacherous season where the waters were treacherous and the banks overflowed, where it was naturally impossible. But when it's naturally impossible, God is going to do supernatural things inside your life. Come on. That when man can't do it, he is able to do it. Come on online. I need y'all to give God some praise, because God is about to do some supernatural things in your life in this season. Today, can I suggest that all of us have had to or will have to go through a Jordan? Not in a geographical sense, but in a spiritual and in a proverbial sense. See, Jordan represents that circumstance or that season we can't get through except for the powerful hand and the presence of God. Let me say it again. Jordan represents that season that we can't get through except for the powerful hand of God. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that he's been keeping me in difficult seasons. I thank God that even in this present moment, I can depend on him. And I don't know if there's about 100 in you that could give God a real praise in this place, because you know that if it hadn't been for God keeping you in this difficult season and in this difficult moment, you wouldn't be here today. Come on. As a consequence, I believe that all of us will have marked moments. Moments in our lives where God not only showed up, but he showed out. Moments in our lives where he came to the valleys of our lives and moved mountains out of our ways. Moments in our lives where we can look back and say, if it had not been for God on my side, I wouldn't have been here today. If we were to recall the moments that God kept us, it will blow some people's minds. Okay, if you're taking notes, here's something I want you to remember. Who we are and where we are today is because of what God did in our yesterday. Let me say it again. Who we are and where we are today is because of what God did in our yesterday. See, some people believe that they're here on their own talent, on their own gift, on their own abilities. But I believe that there are some of us that understand that we weren't talented enough, we weren't gifted enough to make it to this point in our lives if it had not been for the grace of God. And some people wonder why you get excited when you're in God's presence or when it's time to praise him, because baby, ain't nobody like you know what you've been through like you and God. And sometimes folk may say it don't take all that.
You don't got to scream that loud. You don't got to shout that loud. But baby, if you only knew what I've been through, and if you only knew what he brought me out. Listen, some people wouldn't even believe you've been through some of the stuff you've been through. See, someone asked me the other day, Dury, God's healed you of lupus, and you were supposed to die at 18 years old, and you're alive today. Don't you want him to completely heal you and take the scars away? And here's what I told them. Sometimes you need scars so that people could believe that you actually been through some stuff. Come on now. See, because some people wouldn't believe you unless they see the scars. But come on, is there anybody in Faith Church that got some scars? Your scars may not be visible, but all of us got some scars that if we were to testify about what God's done and how he's been good, somebody shall preach, young man. I'm doing the best I can. Can I tell you, I am so blessed. Because with these scars, I'm still here today. You're looking at somebody that shouldn't be here, but I'm on one of the greatest platforms in the world as a testimony of how good God is. And y'all, he blessed me with my scars. Because can I tell you, I got a fine wife. Oh yeah. And I got four handsome, good-looking boys. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Because God is that good. Somebody say he's that good. So when I think about all of this, I go to the psalm, because the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put pen to parchment and began to proclaim this in Psalms 105 verse 1-5. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his accomplishments, his resume, his history. Make known his accomplishments among the nations. Sing to him. Make music to him. Tell about his miraculous deeds. Boast about his holy name. Okay, y'all didn't shout on that psalm, so let's go to the next one. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, you got to boast about him. I like Psalm 78, verse 1-4. It says, pay attention, my people, to my instruction. Listen to the words I speak. I will sing a song that imparts wisdom. Listen to this. I will make insightful observations about the past. What we've heard and learned, that which our ancestors have told us, we will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation about the Lord's praiseworthy acts, about his strength and the amazing things he has done. Seek his presence continually. Recall the miraculous deeds he's performed, his mighty acts. Here's what the psalmist is saying. Hallelujah. He's saying, when I recall and when I remember the past things that he has done, it helps me to insightfully observe how he's brought me over and how he's brought me through. And it produces something called praise. I wonder if there's anybody that got a praise on the inside. You see, somebody should praise God because your marked moments help to adjust your perspective. You see, some people think that they gotta have it good in order to give God praise. But can I just tell you how powerful praise is? Praise says this. Praise says, it may not look good in my present, but God is always good. Praise says this, that it may not be what I want it to be, but God is always good. So it don't have to be good for me to give God praise. I'll praise him because he's been good and he will always be good. Is there anybody that came with a praise on the inside that could give God glory? In this season, we need our perspective to be adjusted. Come here online. Come here, all of our other campuses. We need our perspective adjusted. Because here's what praise says. Praise says, because of his participation in my past, I got a praise in the present. Okay, y'all ain't shout on that. Praise reminds us of how good God's been in the past. It sustains us with peace in the present. And it positions us to cross over into our future promises. Hallelujah. That's what praise does. Praise then says sometimes you need to have a flashback to make a forecast. Preach, Dury. You preaching better than they shouting at this early service. Sometimes you gotta have a flash. Look at somebody, say, don't make me have a flashback, because I'll tear this church up. Come on. Anybody could have some flashback. Guess what my flashback says? My flashback says this, that, watch this, I may not be comfortable in my present condition, but I have got a confident conviction of the future outcome, because if he did it before, he could do it. If he did it before, he could. If he healed before, he could heal again. If he delivered before, he could deliver it again. If he brought you out before, he can bring you out. Look at somebody, say, have a flashback. Somebody shout, don't forget. I like Deuteronomy. Watch what Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. How long? How long? As long as you live. He says, don't forget. He says, teach them to your children and to your children after them. I like Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 to 12. When the Lord God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, he says, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards you did not plant, and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and the land of slavery. I don't got much time, but can I tell y'all, one of the things I detest is when I go to places and churches and everybody look like they've been sucking on lemons all day. Look like they got, the faces is just pruned and they're mad. And they angry. And people got to pump them and prime them to praise God. Here's what I say to myself. They forgot. Hallelujah. They forgot. But baby, I'm at Faith Church. And at Faith Church, we got 100 or 200 or a couple thousand people that never forgot what God's done for them. Is there anybody up in here and say, I can't forget. I can't forget. I can't forget. Yay. Can you look at somebody and say, after all I've been through and how he brought me out, I can't forget. If you didn't forget, I need you to give him a real praise. Come on. If you didn't forget, give God some praise. I gotta hurry up, so when I reference the moments, when I reference the moments that I've marked in my life, I've concluded that he's a reliable rock. That's why I don't allow fear to control my present. That's why I don't worry, I worship. Hallelujah. Because my faith says that he's a reliable God, that he's trustworthy, and he never fails. And even if he doesn't do another thing, he's still worthy of the praise. Come on, y'all, three Hebrew boys. Tell him, even if he doesn't deliver us, we still ain't bowing to the culture of the world, because he's been too good. And so no wonder God told Joshua, he says, Joshua, I want you, when I cross you over, to get 12 men from each tribe. And I want you to grab stones from the center of the Jordan. It's interesting because he didn't tell him to get stones from the sides and the banks. He says, I want you to grab a stone from the center. I want you to grab stones from the places where you should have sank, but yet your feet standing firm. See, in order to get these stones, you got to go through some stuff. And a lot of people maybe ain't been through nothing, but baby, if you ever been through anything in your life and God's been good, then you got something to mark. He says, get the stones. And here's what you want to do. You want to hold on to these stones because these stones are going to be a memorial so that when your children and your children's children ask, why are these important to you? You're going to be able to tell them it was because of what God did. If I hadn't been in the hand of God, I wouldn't have been here. Some of you parents ought to have your moments marked so that when your great-grandchildren and when your children come and say, Mommy, how come you're giving God praise? Daddy, how come you're so content and at peace? And you could be able to go back to some marked moments and say, here's what God did for our family. Here's what God did in our lives. Here's how God brought us out. Here's how God brought us through. Everybody say, mark the moments. He says, get these moments, get these stones, and mark the moments. Mark the moments. Everybody say it one more time. Say, mark the moments. Because Joshua, I'm about to demonstrate my power. I'm about to demonstratively demonstrate my power, demonstratively show my love and my affection in the open that eyes are going to see, hallelujah, and ears are going to hear about what I've done for you and the children of Israel this day, Joshua. I am about to show my hand on your life. So mark the moments. Now, I knew I was coming to Faith Church, one of the most creative places on the planet. And so I said to myself, how can we really bring this message and this narrative to life? And I said, I wonder if the stones could have talked, what the stones would tell, what kind of story the stones would tell. And here's what I asked myself, God, why stones? And I'm glad you guys want to know too, because at the end of the day, here's what God said at one point. He said, if they don't praise me. Okay, I got some folks in here that he said, if they don't praise me, here's what's going to happen. The rocks are going to cry out and tell the world how good I am. So in the few moments I have, I want to ask us, what kind of story do you think that these stones would tell? Well, I believe the first stone would tell that he's a God that is a God that provides protection. Come on. It reminds me that I'm the apple of his eye, that like an eagle stirs his nest and hovers over his young to protect it, so is God protecting me, that I will walk through the waters and not be overcome, that I would walk through fire and not come out smelling like smoke. Come on, is there anybody up in here that know that he'll go before you and make crooked places straight? Hallelujah, you could honestly declare that the Lord is your light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? The first stone would say he protected us. Everybody say protection. Protection. Yeah, he protected us. When we were through the desert, he was a fire by night and a cloud by day. The second stone would say that he is a God that provides. Yeah. Is there anybody up in here that can have a flashback about how he provided? So why worry? Because this same God that feeds the birds of the air, hallelujah, and the fowls of the air, and clothes the flowers of the field, is the same God that'll take care of me and he'll take care of you. Everybody say, he provides. Hallelujah. I hear another stone crying out. Another stone that cried out to tell his story is a stone that says, I was in the desert with those rebellious and stiff-necked people, and they were complaining that they was in this dry place and they didn't have nothing to drink or eat. And Moses got upset, and Moses came over to me, and Moses was so angry with them because of their lack of faith that he struck me, and all of a sudden a dry stone like me started to gush out water. Can I just tell you what it means? It means that it doesn't matter how it looks around me. It doesn't matter what the economy says. I know that my God is a Jehovah Jireh that provides my needs according to his riches. Here's the other stone. It's the stone of grace. Anybody thankful for grace? Come on, I'm in First Faith Church. I'm in Faith Church where people connect, families grow, and lives are changed. How is that possible? That's only possible by the grace of God. I'm a recipient of His grace. Is there anybody here that should have been dead? Is there anybody here that walked away and turned your back, but yet the grace of God? Okay, y'all didn't shout on that stone. And so maybe a next stone with grace just shouted out to me and say, tell my story. Tell my story. Hallelujah. It was a stone that was in the hand of a bunch of religious elite, a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees that were too sad, you see, and that were too far to see. Hallelujah. And they caught this woman in the act of adultery. Hallelujah. And they were about to stone her. But then Jesus, hallelujah, He went and He drew a line in the sand. And He said that you that don't got no sin, you could cast the first stone. And preacher, because we all need grace, everybody had to drop the stone. Can I get about 100 of you to give God some real praise for grace? The stone of courage. This stone says that, Pastor, they were courageous. Come on online. Come on all our other campuses. In this season, God needs some courageous believers. Not those that will be cowering in a corner, but those that will stand up and be brave and bold and say, no matter what comes my way, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking. The stone of courage. Here's the other stone that will tell his story, is the stone of victory. Come on. Hallelujah. Anybody, God gave you some victory? Victory over your enemies. Victory over your circumstance. Victory. Everybody shout victory. Yeah, I hear another stone, and that stone was in the hand of a shepherd boy that heard a circumcised Philistine defying the armies of God. And when he went up to him with me in his hand, I heard that giant say, you come to me without a sword and without a shield. And that shepherd boy said, yeah, but I come in the name of the Lord. And he pulled back, and when he released me, that giant came falling down. Oh, what am I trying to say? Your stones are going to help you to slay your giants. I got to go. But I hear another stone, because that stone said they didn't shout. So if they don't shout over me, then I don't know what will cost them to realize that God's good. But this was a stone that was pushed in front of an empty tomb. In front of a tomb where they placed the body of Jesus. That stone said, they said that he wasn't gonna get up again. And on day two, I was a little concerned because I heard them say that this Savior would get back up from the dead. But on day three, hallelujah, on day three, it took a few men to push me in front of it, but it only took the power and the finger of God to move it in front of them. Somebody shout victory. The stone of faith. The stone of faith will make you look at dry bones and say you're going to live again. Hallelujah. Anybody got any faith in here? God is saying that your circumstance with your faith is going to live again. The stone of wisdom. Has he given you wisdom in the past? Wisdom that you didn't have, but he gave you. Hallelujah. Here's another stone. The stone of deliverance. Any former drug addicts? Any former drug dealers? Come on. Any former sinners in the house that say, he delivered and he set me free? Here's another stone. It's the stone of healing. Anybody, the doctors gave you a bad report? Can I tell you, they looked at me and say, your mom died from lupus, you're gonna die from lupus. And even if you live to see 18-year-old, you wouldn't be able to play basketball, run, swim, do anything 18-year-olds do. But can I tell you that God has been faithful, that I'm 39 years old today and still alive because he gave me the stone of healing. I'm done.
I'm done.
But here is another stone, the stone of faithfulness. He sees me even when I don't see him. Come on, he's faithful. Hallelujah. He's never changing. The stone of endurance. I survived some stuff and I kept going. Come on. The stone of love. I tried to run from him, tried to hide from him, but his love just wouldn't leave me alone. Is there anybody online on our other campuses that could say his love just wouldn't leave me alone? Is there anybody in Faith Church thankful for his love? Is there anybody in Faith Church thankful for his love? Is there anybody that got some marked moments in their life that they can tell generations God's been good? As you stand all over the sanctuary, and as I get ready to close, I want to read this last scripture from Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, because I think it's important. Because here's what Moses said to them. Moses said this, when he had finished reciting all these words to Israel, he said to them, keep in mind all the words I'm solemnly proclaiming to you today. You must command your children to observe them carefully, all the words of this law. For this is no idle word for you. It is your life. By this word, you will live a long time in the land you're getting ready to cross over to possess. Do you hear me? In this season, you needed a reminder. You needed a mark to say, if he got me through it before, he can get me through it again. I close with a bottom line, and that bottom line is this. Your past stones are going to help you to slay your future giants. If you believe that, give God a praise. Father, we thank you that you've been good to us. And while we are going to forget some things that try to keep us down and hostage and keep us back, we're never going to forget what you did for us and how you did it. We're going to proclaim your greatness and your goodness around the world, and we'll let them know, if it had not been for your hand on our life, where would we be? So thank you for the marked moments in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody put your hands together. Come on, somebody give God glory. We're going to go to Tommy's story as you're seated.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.